Blog Talk Radio.
I'm good. How are you? Do I sound like a robot this week?
Nope, you don't sound good, but I think all
okay,
is
that's good.
That's good. Yeah, hopefully Jared will be with us shortly, but we could just hang out and talk. Yeah, about that trade early today. We're going to hit that later. But actually, Jared Singleton, I'm sorry, not Jared Singleton, I'm sorry, I can't think tonight. Anthony Davis. There we go. Anthony Davis to the Lakers. I didn't think it would get done. A lot of people didn't think it would get done, but lo and behold, it got done. So we all know that he got traded for one Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and three first-round picks, including the one that's going to take place tomorrow night. So,
yeah.
I got to hear from this because a lot of people are on both sides of the coin. Was it a fleecing by the Pelicans or was it a win-win by both squads?
Yeah, well, I'm in the camp that thinks this is a win-win. If you have going to be 34 years old LeBron James and you know your window is very small, I think the Lakers had been as patient as they could be at this point with Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. I'm not saying that those guys aren't going to go on to be all-stars or have great careers. Maybe they will. Maybe it will be as soon as next year. But I think from the Lakers' standpoint, they couldn't risk Davis getting dealt to another team and falling in love with the culture there. And, you know, rumors were he wanted to be in L.A. with LeBron. I think you do what you have to do to get him because he's a top five player, no doubt, in this league.
Right.
I don't even know if that's arguable at this point. And as far as efficiency rating, he's the third most efficient player in league history behind only Michael Jordan and LeBron James. So Lakers getting themselves two of the most efficient players in the same starting five, even though the rest of the cast might be a bare-bones squad. I think you have to do it. I think it's if you're the Lakers, I don't think there's any hesitation. And then for the Pelicans, you know, good for them. They got as much as they could. I think that they wanted to initially, you know, at the trade deadline, there was reports that the owner that was going to refuse to ever give the Lakers a shot at a championship because, you know, they're a Western Conference team. But when you look at the other teams that were bidding for Davis, I think as much as people made of Boston's offer, if they were never going to include Tatum, which reports indicate that they weren't going to include him, the Lakers clearly had the best offer. You know, the Knicks have Kevin Knox, maybe he'll be something, but other than that, they don't have a lot of great young pieces that they could have thrown at them, other than potentially the third pick and draft picks. And so to get Ingram, to get Ball, to get Hart as a throw-in, and then, like you said, three first-round picks, this was as good as the Pelicans could have hoped for. So I think the funniest thing about all this is there's a freshman in high school somewhere that doesn't know that he's going to end up being part of the Anthony Davis trade someday.
There you go. That'll be a walking trivia question, right? It's funny you mentioned the Knicks because it just goes to show you if fortunes just broke just right, they ended up with the top pick to right to select Zion. I am pretty sure that they would have had almost a good shot of letting Anthony Davis as the Lakers did. But the Lakers had the most assets, obviously. They had, they had the most to give them. And the thing was that the New Orleans, what many people didn't realize, they were operating from a position of weakness because they knew that Anthony Davis was going to resign with them. He told them that. And so they had to get what they could. It's never an even trade when you involve a superstar, but a superstar, at least in Davis's case. And they did well. They did pretty well. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty well set up for the long haul, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, I think so for sure. I mean, when you look at what they have now you can look at a starting lineup of Ball if they choose to keep Holiday and you move Holiday to shooting guard. You have Zion there. You have Ingram. And then they're looking to move the fourth pick. We'll see if they're able to successfully do that for a veteran. But even if they can't, you can take a talented player at number four to continue the rebuilding. I think if there's any wins for the Lakers in this, it's that they didn't have to include Kyle Kuzma in the deal. Kuzma averaged 18 a game last year for the Lakers, one of their budding young stars. As far as potential goes, I think it showed the most overall potential in terms of staying healthy. Ball and Ingram both dealing with injuries throughout their careers. But I think the reason that they ended up not having to include Kuzma really, I think, because of AD's camp. You know, there's rumors I tweeted at you last week. Those rumors broke out that AD wanted to be in L.A. That was his preferred destination. And I think as soon as those rumors came to light that it's like it was L.A. or bust, I think that was what allowed the Lakers to drop Kuzma from that deal or allow the Pelicans to maybe not ask for him. But in all seriousness, though, they still ended up getting three first-round picks, so maybe that was the consolation for not adding Kuzma as well. Maybe, you know, they threw in another first in order to keep him out of the deal.
Yeah, and I think with the new GM in town, David Griffin, former of the Cavaliers, he knows what the hell he's doing as far as acquiring players, acquiring talent. Mm-hmm. He's going to use those first three first-round picks are gold. They're going to be gold, including ones tonight they could use to add a willing deal for a veteran. I would advise them to go for a guy like a Bradley Beal, you know, who's apparently on the trading block for like for Washington as a shooter. Mm-hmm. Because if you get a shooter with that mix of young talent in New Orleans, look the hell out. I'm not saying like top four seeing the playoffs, but still be excited as hell, and they're going to contend. I think they'll contend for a playoff spot.
Oh yeah, I think next year, I think they could contend for a playoff spot. The West is going to be weaker. Teams at the top, Warriors have injuries. Houston has inner turmoil. They'll definitely challenge for one of the eight spots. I think next year, as long as they can keep everybody healthy, I think they should be in good shape. And if, like you said, if they can pull off a trade for that number four pick, get a shooter like Beal to pair with some of those young guys. I think things should be good for him.
Well, you know, I was going to talk about I was going to just do a quick mention of Mike Conley, but since you brought up Houston, what the hell is going on down in H-Town? I mean, are you serious? Is Chris Paul really that petty? I mean, like reports of him shooting on the same side as James Harden, like during practice. You know, when everyone knows that there are 20 floors, like 20 baskets at an NBA practice gym. Saying what he said about Harden's play. Are you serious, dude? You're 34 years old and owe 40, close, like 30 plus million dollars, which was a terrible contract to be signed to. Thanks a lot, Daryl Morey.
Right.
What's going on with Chris? Does anyone like Chris Paul anymore outside of LeBron James and the Banana Boat crew? I mean, what's going on with this dude?
His State Farm agent. I think he likes him. But,
Cliff Paul.
Right. I think I saw something on Twitter today, and I'm, you know, kind of compelled to agree with it. If Chris Paul's not careful, if he doesn't tread lightly, if he doesn't work to patch things up with Harden in Houston, I think he's probably going in that direction once he saw where his market's at. But he's at risk of his legacy being, one, a guy that could never be the face of a franchise to get a team anywhere, but two, to also cause internal turmoil and drama really everywhere he's been. Forced his way out of New Orleans with the Hornets when New Orleans used to be the Hornets. Forced his way then to the Clippers, and then, you know, all the drama that went down with the Clippers and his exit there and everything. And now we see the same thing happening in Houston. And he looks like a nice guy on all the State Farm ads. And there's got to be some level of petty that exists, and I don't know if it's just a frustration that he hasn't been able to get where he wants. And maybe part of it is that him and James Harden were never a perfect fit to begin with. Their style of plays might have been putting in a square peg in a round hole, two ball-dominant guys, two stars that there's going to be egos there, and you ask them to coexist. One, squarely in the prime of his career, won the MVP last season, and the other one on a downward trend. You have to figure if you have any foresight at all, you know, you have to think that guy in the downward trend might develop a chip. But I do think that if we are to believe rumors that, you know, are on social media and everything, that you know, the Rockets put out feelers to the Knicks, and the Knicks said no way. The Knicks being one of those teams that actually could have absorbed Paul's contract. They didn't want to. And it's not like his numbers were terrible last year. I think he averaged like 15 a game and 8 assists, something around there. So it's not like his numbers were bad, but it's also that this guy is going to be owed $134 million over the life of his contract for a guy that's going to be 35 years old next season. I think we're going to see Paul start to shut up, start to put on a smile and play the role of the good soldier from here on out, saying what he needs to say, because I think he realizes that he's not as valued or coveted within NBA circles as he thought he was.
You know what? He's going to go down, if he's not careful, as one of the worst leaders in NBA history, given his talent, given his ability. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's a future first ballot Hall of Famer. But he's going to go down, I'm telling you, as one of the worst leaders. I mean, it's just a shame that, you know, it just happened to be. I mean, because I remember this dude at Wake Forest. I mean, I grew up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I only grew up 10 miles from Wake Forest campus. And I remember watching this dude play. And he was a bulldog in college. And, you know, he's 6 foot nothing, you know, maybe six feet or 6'1" at the most. And he's a bulldog. Mm-hmm. He's a classic old school throwback point guard. He's ball. Mm-hmm. He needs the ball in his hands. He needs two balls in his hands. He tends to create for others. That's look for his own shot. But to your point, and I wondered this when the trade went down, like the beginning of the previous season, how is this going to work? Two guys who need the ball and Paul and Harden, and you thought it was going to work because they showed footage. I don't know if you remember this. Of them like playing pickup ball in some gyms, trying to get a feel for each other's games, and then they're on the early State Farm commercials trying to. I thought they were trying to make things work, You know what I'm saying? And they were this close of getting over the hump over Golden State. And they're still there. I still think they're the best team in the West. If everyone stays put, it's just that they're just their own worst enemies. Houston is their own worst enemies right now. And I just don't understand why Houston cannot get out of his own way, and particularly with Chris Paul.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at it in the playoffs the last few seasons. You know, they crumble on the court at times when if they capitalize, they could finally reach the summit. And but they always seem to fall back. And maybe it is an indication of what's going on internally that they can't produce externally when they're on the court together.
Right. And what was the telltale sign, brother, is when after Kevin Durant went down, which everyone lied at the time and thought it was a calf, but we all knew it was an Achilles injury. At least I did, because the way he turned around, you don't turn around when your calf is hurt. You turn around when your Achilles hurt because you think that someone kicked you. You just grab your calf immediately when your calf is bad. But anyway, that's not here or there. But the point is, when Houston was right there, it was theirs for the taking in game five when that happened, they fell apart. And they really got their asses kicked in game six. So, without Durant. So, I mean, sure, Steph Curry happened. But still, the point is that Houston could not take advantage when they were arguably the second best team in the NBA, I think, before the finals, and Toronto proved us otherwise. But, and we'll get to that in a moment. But, yeah, it's just a shame that these guys, the Rockets, are this close. And now with the West being so wide open the way it is with KD possibly not coming back and definitely being out for the entire year, and same with Klay Thompson being out for most of the next season with a torn ACL, it's wide open. The West is. It's so wide open. Why not stay put and try to put on a happy face, clear things up internally, and make another run for it? It's right there.
Especially this year. I think for me what's most telling is that as far as Chris Paul's value, and I'll be quick because I know you want to move on to other things, is just that the Celtics who know that they're going to lose Kyrie Irving, today they missed out on Mike Conley. They were one of the teams rumored to have interest in Mike Conley. That they have had no reported connections. There have been no rumors. They seem to have zero interest in Chris Paul. When conceivably from a basketball standpoint, I think he would fit their team perfectly as a guy that would facilitate to those younger guys that couldn't get to where Kyrie and them couldn't get along. I think Paul as a veteran with them and somebody that's going to look to get them opportunities to score and also have a chance to be the main floor general. The fact that they've had no interest in that, I think that speaks volumes to where Paul is valued at this point in his career.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. One last thing before we move on to Mike Conley. I meant to touch on this earlier with Anthony Davis. Now that Anthony Davis is a Laker, to walk over LeBron James, who's arguably, even though it doesn't seem like it, but it's approaching the twilight of his career, do you see the Lakers being the favorites in the West, or how do you see them? Right quick.
Well, I think it really depends on what Pelinka is able to do with the roster going forward. I know that they're the odds-on betting favorite. I know Vegas likes them, and I mean, you put a two-headed monster together like LeBron and Anthony Davis, which is probably arguably the best player that LeBron's ever been paired with. And really, at this point in their career, you could make the argument that LeBron's the sidekick on this team. I really do believe that. He's 34.
Sure,
AD's AD's the coming into his prime. But all that being said, like I said, I think it just depends on what Pelinka is able to do. I'm of the ilk that believes that Pelinka is going to be able to find a way to open up the cap room and pursue a guy like Kemba Walker. I think that's probably going to, if anybody goes there, if any big free agent goes there, it's going to be Kemba. I think Kyrie's set on Brooklyn, even though they're going to go after them. I think Kawhi, all the rumors have him either staying in Toronto or going to the Clippers. I don't think he wants to, at least reports say he doesn't want to be the third person in a new big three. All that being said, Pelinka, it's going to be a tightrope that Pelinka is going to have to walk in order to make this happen, because the Pelicans want the deal completed by July 6th. So Pelinka is going to have to rework the deal to actually to send out probably Mo Bonga and or Mo not Bonga, Mo Wagner and some other guys are going to have to, you know, to find some other teams that are going to take on money, and then, you know, have to convince Davis to not take his $4 million trade kicker in order to open up that max slot. Ultimately, I think he'll find a way to do it. I think where there's a will, there's a way. But if they're able to get a third guy like Walker and then fill out the roster with veteran minimum guys, I think J.J. Redick is a prime guy that could be interested in going back to the city of Los Angeles and trying to chase a championship. Maybe he doesn't feel like the 76ers are quite where he thought they were last year. Thinks he might have an easier go with this Lakers squad. If they're able to get him and other guys to agree to veteran minimums like Paul Millsap to sell out the roster, then I think they have a very good chance. So it really just depends on who they're able to convince to come there in free agency. And even if they can't open up a max slot, but they can get maybe two guys, two shooters to surround Davis and LeBron with, I think they'll have a good chance. And personally, with all the turmoil going on in Houston and with the injuries in Golden State, I think the Lakers, in my opinion, are probably the favorites to come out of the West with the one seed.
Yeah, you know what? It's going to be, again, we said it was going to be so wide open. I would think, was one last thing on the Lakers, I think that, I don't think they have to worry about, they should be down on themselves, the Lakers, that is, if they don't get that third person. I think they should use that money, that $27 million, the cap money. They should get some shooters.
Yeah.
They should look to get some shooters. I mean, there's so many out there on the open market right now. Mm-hmm. They can really – that's what they needed last year. They needed some shooters. They had a bunch of dudes who can get their own shot, but they didn't have anybody who can shoot further than a free throw. For the most part, they need to get some shooters. I think they should go after Bradley – I thought through his name earlier, Bradley Beal. I think he would fit well. He would stretch the flow out. And he could get his own shot as well. So I think I think as long as they get some shooters, if they like the worst case scenario, if you could believe that, I think they'll be fine. I think the Lakers, unfortunately, I'm a Knicks fan, so I grew up hating the Lakers but and the Celtics as well. But I think that they should be the favorites no matter what going the next season, and that would be fun to watch. I cannot wait.
They're gonna be a fun team.
Conley being traded to the Jazz, which is kind of a win-win, another win-win as well if you look at it. But, man, do the Jazz look good on paper or what? Because, sure, they had to give up who they had to give up. They probably will not be
Crowder.
Signed with Rubio. Yep, Crowder right. and –
They're
going to
let Rubio log in. Korver, Crowder, and then Grayson Allen, and a couple first,
Yep. Yeah. So obviously Memphis is going to be rebuilding. They're obviously going to draft Ja Morant with the second overall pick. But man, the Jazz in the short term, Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell in the backcourt. Are you serious? Whoa.
Yeah.
The rest of that squad, they're going to be looking good next year.
Yeah, I've always loved the Jazz. They're my Western Conference team. I've always been a Cavs fan, but I root for the Jazz out west. And you look at this team; they're going to be a juggernaut defensively. And I want to credit Kyle Lamb of BuckeyeGrove.com and his Unscripted Ohio podcast. I tweeted earlier. You know, I'm trying to figure out why everyone's saying this team is one of the favorites for a title. Now he responded. That they had a top five defense efficiency this past year, and they've just acquired one of the best on-ball defenders in the NBA. Not only that, he was the second best adjusted net rating in the West this past year with huge offensive. Huge offensive upgrade. So, he's predicting they take him into the 55 win territory. That's a three-headed monster, and it's going to be a defensive juggernaut. Conley, Mitchell, and Gobert, especially Gobert and Conley together on defense. Their ability to probably switch, defend the pick and roll. I mean, so you got two of the best defenders in the NBA, and then you pair that with Donovan Mitchell, who I just feel like is on the cusp of being a top 10 player. Probably not there yet, but I think he's very close in terms of his ability and talent. And now you have all these three guys together, and if you're able to just bring back Favors and Joe Ingles, Ingles can be your three-point specialist. Favors just another big body, solid defender himself. They're going to be a scary team. They'll have depth, and I think the only thing that they might be – the only area of weakness is they're not going to be the quickest team. But Mitchell
right.
and Conley, you know, they can make up for that.
Yeah, and, you know, they're well-coached, and, you know, they're gritty. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
the only thing that kept them going – but so far, last season, season before last, was just the talent. They can't stay in front of they're not quick, but they can
mm-hmm.
defend. They can get you. They're cool in the half court, and they just look. I mean, as long as Conley stays healthy, that's the main thing because he's been
right.
hampered by injuries the last couple of seasons. So if he stays
mm-hmm.
healthy, look the hell out. The West is going to be mm-hmm. off the chain. It's going to be so
mm-hmm.
wide open. It's just amazing.
I can't wait. It's crazy. And the West will be the dominant conference, but they're, you know, with those injuries in Golden State, there's no Goliath waiting for you at the end of the tunnel this year.
Right. I totally agree. And even though they'll still have Steph Curry playing next year, as well as Draymond
mm-hmm.
Green, and it's possible that they may re-sign Boogie Cousins. So they'll
mm-hmm.
still be in the mix, obviously, but they're down
yeah.
at least a peg or two. So, you know,
yeah,
it's going to be wide open for sure. And one last thing on the NBA, brother, you know, the Toronto Raptors, congratulations to the Raptors on winning their first title, bringing their first title north of the border. It's cool. It's cool to watch. I know that people are complaining, some people are complaining, Skip Bayless, about wanted to put an asterisk on this title because Golden State lost both Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson to injuries. And, you know, which is too bad for both, especially for Kevin Durant because he came out like game busters in game five.
Right.
Hitting most of his shots and scoring 12 quick points
mm-hmm.
in 11 minutes before he got
yep.
hurt.
I think it was 12 points in 11 minutes, or vice versa.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so – when he went down, I was like, oh, that just sucks. But the point
mm-hmm.
is that you got to give props to Toronto because people don't realize when Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons won their first title against the Lakers, both Magic Johnson and Byron Scott tore their hamstrings in game one of that series, which ended up being
mm-hmm.
a sweep for the Pistons. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the point is that stuff happens. Bleep happens.
Right.
And, you
right.
know, you can't control injuries. It's the ultimate equalizer in sports. So you got to give Toronto props for when it's due, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely, for sure. And, you know, me being just shy of 31 years old here in a few weeks, like I don't remember those injuries to the Lakers, you know? I remember that the Pistons won a title, though, you know, and just for, you know, highlights and that in the history. And then, same thing with the Cavs in 15 when they lost Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. You know, there's no asterisk next to that title for the Warriors.
Right.
It's unfortunate that injuries happen, but I think ultimately I think what I'll remember more, you know, 20 years down the line is that the Raptors won a title. Definitely I'll remember the injuries for Golden State, but I mean, you always remember the victor, right? And
right.
Maybe that's less of the case here, but I still think that's, you know, the argument to be made. Congrats to the champs. Toronto was clearly the best team in the series. Yes, they were the best team because of some injuries to the other team, main injury to the other team. And then Thompson missing a game and a third of a game or fourth of a game. You know, be that as it may, you know, Toronto was the better team with, you know, all 10 guys that were out there on the court at a time through six games. And, they deserved it.
Yeah, and, you know, props to Kawhi Leonard. We mentioned him earlier in the podcast, but
mm-hmm.
he's that dude. He's proven that he is that dude. He took the
mm-hmm.
squad
yeah.
on his own. He put a squad on his back. All but with talented players around, like the Kyle Lowry's of the world and Marc Gasol's of the
mm-hmm.
world and whatnot, but that was clearly his squad, and he clearly
mm-hmm.
earned that MVP, the Finals MVP. He's the king of Canada. If I were him, I wouldn't go anywhere, but you never know with that dude. But,
right.
I mean, what a season for Kawhi Leonard. What a season of redemption, considering what happened
mm-hmm.
last season before last.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, process.
Yeah, he becomes I think he's the first guy to win the MVP in both the Western Conference and Eastern Conference and win a Finals MVP in both conferences. And and then this one, like you said, he put him on his back. Yeah, there was he had help from guys like Siakam and Lowry, but this was definitely not Toronto wasn't a team of superstars. It's kind of reminiscent of that Mavericks win, and was that 2011, I think. First Finals for the Heat. It's kind of reminiscent of that. You know, there's just proof that you don't necessarily need a super team to win a title. If you have a star player and you have a lot of auxiliary pieces that are really good and each fill their role really well and really intelligently, that you can get things done. You can still win a title that way.
And also, I know that you said you're almost 31 years young. I'll be 46 in September. So I remember that Lakers Detroit series quite well. But I also remember when Detroit hooked up with L.A. the second time around with led by the likes of Rasheed Wallace and Ben Wallace, they were the superstars too. They beat down the Kobe and Shaq-led Lakers in five games, the ultimate gentleman sweep. So it happens, you know. I mean, Chauncey Billups led that Pistons team as well, but that was a team – the Board of Superstars. Shout out to
right.
The Board of Superstars.
Yeah. So
yeah,
that's as tall of a team as you could probably think of. Yeah, for sure. If you play smart basketball and each guy fills their role,
exactly. So this, I mean, we'll be talking more about the NBA this summer because you got the draft tomorrow night and free agency officially begins July 1st. So we're going to be talking to the NBA damn near most of the summer, so we're going to stay tuned to that, and that's going to be fun. So in the meantime, thanks a lot, Kevin. We'll definitely talk again soon, brother.
All righty, sounds good. I got my fingers crossed for Cam Reddish to the Caps tomorrow night. That's who I like. So.
Well, there you go.
We'll see.
It just might happen. I seen some mock drafts that it just might happen, dude, so might as well speak it to existence, right?
That's right. But thanks for having me. I appreciate
it. All right, take care, brother. That's my guy, Kevin McCune. Please catch him and Jared Singleton on the Weekend Adjustment Sports Radio Show on WMOH, The Ticket, locally in Hamilton, Ohio, through CBS Radio. That's going to be fun, man. The NBA is going to be really, really, really fun again with all these, you know, the player movements. And of course, obviously, unfortunately, with the Golden State Warriors being weakened by injuries going to next season, It's gonna be awesome. These trades, and there'll be more trades on the horizon following the draft tomorrow night and free agency. It's gonna be off the chain. I'm gonna close this podcast on the Women's World Cup, the FIBA's Women's World Cup, and you know the women's national team. I love the way our women shot back at the haters and by trolling the same critics with that golf clap. I think it was Carly Lloyd when she scored one of her goals. Against Chile, she just celebrated. All of a sudden, she broke down with a polite golf clap. That was awesome. But props to that goalie from Chile. I don't have her name in front of me, but she was making some hell of fight saves, man. I mean, saves from some of the saves from almost from point blank range. And so you got to give. Props to her. It should have been. The score should have been 7-8-0 to nil instead of like 3-0. I mean, the fact that it was the United States held a 3-0 was credit to the goalie, Chile's goalie alone. So props to them. And so remember that goal differential thing that I mentioned last week. That's why the U.S. was scoring 13 goals against Thailand. Well, that's because even after the win over Chile, even though they hadn't won their group, they're still in the knockout round, made the knockout round because of the goal differential. So the worst they could finish is 2-1, losing. If they lose to Sweden, which I don't think they'll lose to Sweden, but if they lose to Sweden, they'll still be in like Flynn because of the goal differential. The goal differential right now is 16 goals. So, I mean, unless they allow 10 against Sweden, they'll be going into the knockout stage with over a 10 goal differential. That's badass. So you gotta give props to that. I still can't believe people were complaining, bitching about that. But
whatever, it is what it is. But I want to say one more thing right quick. How about the epic choke job by Scotland earlier today against Argentina? I was looking at the I was looking at the game on my smartphone, like while I was at my day job, and I saw, as soon as I saw it was 3-0, I just turned it off. And then I get like sports alerts on my phone, and I got the first alert that, okay, Argentina scored to make it 3-1. I'm like, oh, okay, well, they're making a game out of it, I guess. I guess they're playing for pride. And then all of a sudden, when I noticed, not, it had to be at least no more than 10 minutes after that. It seemed like 10 or so, maybe 10 to 15 minutes after that, I got an alert that said that the match was tied at 3. I was like, oh, my goodness. You have to be kidding me. And then I just switched back to the game. So I missed the epic comeback that Argentina led against Scotland, but Scotland doesn't have anyone else to blame but themselves. I mean, your heart goes out to those young women. You know, of course they didn't quit per se, but that was if that wasn't an epic choke job, I don't know what was. And what made it worse was that, given the fact that they tied Argentina, That has kept Scotland out of the knockout round. In other words, they didn't play off. So let's recap. Not only did Scotland blow a 3-0 lead late in the second half, but blowing said lead and end up tying, we're picking up a draw against Argentina, has put Argentina into the playoff driver's seat and took Scotland the hell out of it. So sports is cruel, man. Sports are cruel, man. They really are. But, well, again, I feel sorry for those young ladies in Scotland, and they'll learn from this. But they have no one else to blame themselves. And, I guess that's where it quickly crumbles. But anyway, and also, bon voyage to the Jamaica national team, women's national team. They were such a great story, but they got dusted, which is kind of to be expected because it's the first time in this big stage in a very long time. But I believe that with more season training and more practice and whatnot, and more in time, they'll be back. They'll be back for venue. So we'll see. But anyway, thank y'all for tuning into the nice podcast. This is your boy, Scott Burks. Please check me out on Facebook as well as on my sports world. I got the Clown Times. Again, it's Clown spelled with a K. Thank y'all for tuning in again. Good night. 06. Peace.